The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's the Weekend Podcast. I hope you're having a good weekend. Joining me is in stationary mode is Pete. You're all right, Pete?
Yes, hello.
And flying along the motorway at 110 miles an hour, it's Steve. You're all right, Steve?
Yes, good, thank you.
It's breaking the law. And where are you, Steve? Where are you heading from? Where are you heading to?
I've just coming back from Bristol, and in classic Newport way, I've got stuck in all the traffic in Newport, so I'm a bit running behind. So,
were you visiting Harry and Larry?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was going to see how my stocks were doing in person. As they do that, invited me around for some chocolate biscuits and tea, you know, so I did that yesterday.
And they probably weren't there, were they? They were on the yacht in the Mediterranean somewhere, was they? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Money. Sorry, Steve, we forgot all about that. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Listen, place another appointment, it's fine. Right. So why were you in Bristol, Steve? Why were you in Bristol?
Seeing a friend and helping him install some stuff in his new house.
Right. What installing? A breakfast bar?
Toilet?
TVs.
Oh, I see. Audiovisual, eh? Well, I've got to say, I've just been to see Santa. We went to the garden centre. You know, my son's friend wanted to be the first in the queue, as is Megan's want. She's booked well in advance. First in the queue. And it was good, actually. It was not too bad. He was very good. And then singers there, everything. Very Christmas. And last night, we put our decorations up. We had Google Home playing. And I said, Google, I think it's good. You know, before you search around trying to write Christmassy music, I just said to Google Home, okay, Google, please play. Now that's what I call the best Christmas or whatever. And they played it or shuffled it. Brilliant. They are the big selling item this year, aren't they, Christmas?
Yes, probably. I would think so. They are good, aren't they?
Yeah, because Google.
Or Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa's. I think Alexa's got the edge. When I look at what Alexa can do, I think it's got the edge on Google at the moment. Certain features it can sort of do, I think. But
the search isn't as good on Alexa, though. Obviously, Google's whole thing about search, isn't it? But anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Well, they are both good.
Say Black Friday, a bit racist. But Black Friday, they were selling Google Minis for like £34. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So what's the difference? Does that have to have slightly less knowledge?
I was going to say, you ask a question, it's just a bit thick. So I don't know that. Ask me an easy one on sport. Yeah, ask me an easy one on sport. I've no idea. It's just a speaker, isn't it, Steve? The speaker's not as good.
Yeah, so you get a bigger speaker in the full one, and it's a smaller speaker in the small one. Same for Alexa, the Amazon Dots, and the Amazon Echo.
I just think Black Friday, £34 for a Google Mini. Who's not going to buy one of those for a present? That's a cracking present for £34, isn't it?
That's pretty good, isn't it? Yep.
You know, you'd be. Yes. If I was a single fella with a bit of cash, and I have no idea of presents. Megan buys them all in June, pretty much for everyone. But I'd budge by just five of those and give one each person. I think cracking because they look more.
I'll be expecting one then. Thanks. Just.
Yeah, if they look more. I said I'm gonna get involved with it though, but I said if there they are. Anyway, guys, let's go to stocks. What do you think of Versalia? I told you, didn't I? It's all about graphene. Graphene's the answer. Didn't I say that weeks ago? Was it months ago, probably?
Months ago. Well, yes. I'm just happy that I got in another little tranche before it started to rock it up, which was our conversation last week. So, yes, on this occasion, it worked well.
I think you've doubled your money, haven't you? Pretty much?
Yes. Yeah, I bought about 20. Well, when did we first buy? About 18p, wasn't it? Well.
I bought it originally about just 15 pence, and it went up and came back down to about 12 pence. And I bought again, so my average is about 14 pence.
So my average is about 21, I think, yes.
Yeah. So Steve, what's your average, fella?
Well, I only bought once at 20, so...
That's all right, so it's 42, double your money. The thing is now, you've got to think, you know, what do you do now you doubled your money? Because I've always had a rule, you know, if you do 100% gain on a stock, sell half... And,
I saw your tweets.
And forget about it. But I mean, and forget about it, you know.
Forget about it.
Yeah, but I just think, you know, graphene, I mean, of course, if you're a short-term trader, that's a good thing to do, you know. If you have to sort of have some release capital to buy some more stock or trade something else, yes, you do that. But everyone has different agendas, don't they? And I think, you know, if you look at Twitter, people sort of ramping stocks, you've got to understand, when people ramp stocks, what is their agenda? Are they, you know, a long midterm investor, or are they a trader? Now, if you're a midterm investor and you're following a trader, it's going to go all wrong, you know? It's going to go Pete Tong there, isn't it? Because, I mean, my strategy generally is to look for stocks that are good medium to long term, you know? So you don't have to worry too much about them. Hopefully they will rise because something's happening in the background, macro happening, that is, you know, it's in its favour. And I just think of graphene, right? Let's be honest. This story is nowhere near played out yet, is it?
No. Not at all.
I just generally think we're at the start of a graphene revolution here. We're only just starting now to see commercial use of graphene. And I think, and they're still, you know, experimenting with it. And Vesarion are one of the lead players here. And so, like, they've got, you know, collaboration with a global consumer brand company. I think you know who that is. And also they've done a deal with, you know, Israel Aerospace, two massive companies. And there's no other graphene player on the junior market that have these collaborations. So we've got really an emerging industry and a player within that emerging industry that seems to be the lead dog. So I think, what do we do here? Do we trade it? No, I think definitely not. If it pulls back, I did put a trailing stop loss in about 4p. It didn't trigger it, and I cancelled it. And I thought, do you know what? Yeah. I'm going to use here. I mean, I'm not up to 10% of my. It's not. It doesn't expose my portfolio by 10% yet. I mean, overall exposure. So I think what I'm going to do here. It will come back properly. I mean, you know, because it's gone bananas. If you look at the chart, it's parabolic. It's just gone straight up. It's like a rocket. Mm. So it's going to come back. But I think I'll use that opportunity to just top up. You know, because you could argue. Look at the revenue of Vesarion, there's a bit overpriced here, basically 60 million market cap, whatever it is, but the potential is a lot bigger, isn't it? It's massive.
Yeah, definitely. It's just then, when do you buy? So you have to look at the chart and understand where it's going to pull back to.
Yeah, well, look at the chart last time. It was perfect buying up to it. I just saw it and thought, it came back then. I bought it like 15, it went up to 25. I thought, well, this is cracking, this is all right. And then it started coming back down. I didn't sell any. And it started coming back down. I thought, oh no, what's happening here? And then it literally bottomed out nicely. And I bought again at 14. And if you look at that, it's almost a curve of the chart, went back up. And it shot up from it, went to 24p, pulled back a little bit then, about 20p, and shot up then to 44p. So I'm thinking, what you need to do now is just wait for it to come back. It'll probably come back to about. Maybe, but I don't know. We'll come back to it. But it's just look, what's the chart? And this is one of the stories that I said will unfold over the next couple of years. It's not a, you know, something's not going to be played out in the next couple of months. It's a long term hold, and I just see that the potential is massive, massive man,
massive man.
So you're not going to sell at all?
I did tweet out. I said, listen, do you know what? This is the thing, isn't it? We all talk about having diversity. And I remember Warren Buffett said yesterday, diversity is protection for the ignorant, you know? And essentially means if you don't know much about a business you're invested in, then diversify and you basically protect yourself there, risk-wise, you know? But he said, if you know a lot about the business, and let's be honest, there are businesses out there, like Neil Ricketts, for example, CEO of Vesarion. He probably doesn't have any investments elsewhere. That's his business. He's fully invested in that business. You know, he's taking a full risk there. He's got 11.7% of the stock, and that's his business. And every business you see up down the high street, you know, small local business, that's their only business mostly. So they're fully invested in that business. They'll do well. So if you look at a listed company that you think has potential, yes, it's good to diversify, especially in risky stocks. But if you know a lot about the company and you have faith in it, you think, this is a massive, you know, sector, could be. You know, the CEO there seems like he's doing good deals and he has confidence in the company himself. And I think, you know, why should I be overly cautious? Mm. And I look back at some of the gainers I've had, right? And I've actually been a bit too cautious. I really have. I mean, I remember having, like, a big chunk of Asia Met when it first started, 1.2p, a massive chunk. And I went to Momentous Events, the first Momentous Events that happened, and a couple of guys had started talking down commodity stocks. And I started worrying. And I sold a big chunk of Asia Met. And I thought, do you know what? If I just held on there, and I'd be a lot better off than I have now. And so sometimes you are talked out of an investment. I mean, it's a very fine line, isn't it, between, you know, having a lot of confidence, being deluded. I got a lot of confidence in Vesarion. I think it's going places. So I'm thinking, why should I You know, I mean, I'm looking back at previous things where I've been too cautious sometimes, and I've done a lot better, and I'm thinking, I just think this is a good play. It really is. I'm not going to sell. I'm going to wait for the pullback. Fair enough. You could top slice, wait for the pullback, and put some more back in. But I think...
The only difference I'd say that of Vasarian against something like Asiamet is Asiamet is dealing in a commodity that is, you know, well known and historically has a market, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas Vasarian is dealing in graphene, which is a kind of totally new commodity, isn't it? So who knows what the value is? Who knows how it's going to pan out? That's the only difference. But yeah, I agree. On the face of it, it does seem to be like a really good story, and I probably don't have any problem with averaging up if it drops down a bit. You know, it drops back 30p or whatever or something. I wouldn't have a problem with averaging up.
No, listen, graphene is by no way, you know, a proven market yet. Of course it's not. But, I mean, if anyone's proving it at the moment, it seems to be Vasarian, you know. I don't know if any other company is doing that. And like I said last week, when you've got someone like the likes of that global brand, you know, doing a collaboration with Vasarian, they've done their due diligence. That's a massive company there. And so they know. And Neil's not going to just go in there and talk nonsense to them, saying we can do this, we can deliver this, when he can't, you know, because it's his money and reputation on the line. So he knows what he can do. But anyway, I just think it's good play. And other things it's looking at, right? I mean, do you guys, I mean, I wrote about Codal Minerals a while back. Did you see that? To me, that was in the buy zone. Did you read about Steve, did you read the blog?
I must have missed that one.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah. Like the other ones.
I must have just skipped me by.
What do you reckon, Peter? You read it?
You know what? We talked about it when we came down. I mean, that's KOD ticker, isn't it?
COD, yes.
COD. But I didn't invest and I didn't do much research into it, no.
I just think at the moment, there's a couple of stocks I think, you know, I think long term. So lithium, Codal Minerals, right, have got a place in sort of Mali, and they've done sort of some exploration work there. It looks all good. The stuff, the lithium they looked at, I mean, how lithium works, lithium carbonate is used for batteries, right? But what they get out of the ground, lithium spodumene, has to be converted into carbonate. And if it's showed to have high impurities and low grade, it's not going to work. But they've already bulk sampled and tested the lithium, and it's low purity, high grade. And also, they've got this investor come on board from Singapore, so connected to the lithium. China is, there's a report out this week saying Chinese are buying up the downstream basic supply of lithium everywhere. They're scouring the world for any hint of lithium, and they're just buying it up because they realise in several years' time it's going crazy. And you know, if there's a problem, there's no problem on the demand side. Lithium is huge, the demand is massive because of course electric vehicles. There's a problem, if anything, will be on the supply side. And so they're trying to guarantee their supply, you know? And so Codal Minerals, well, market cap of about 13 million, they've got about 4.5 million in cash, because this Chinese investor is invested in cash, at 0.3 and 0.38, I think it is. And at the moment, their share price is like about 0.2 or 0.21 or something like that. So this is, you know, Chinese investor put a lot more money in further up. I mean, they're going through a drilling period at the moment to prove up more resource, but I just think that's a steal because this is now back in January. There's rumours of a takeover of Codal, and the share price went bananas. It went from sort of 0.1 up to 0.5, so it did a five bagger within a couple of weeks, and then it started coming back. And they announced it was the Chinese investors coming aboard, as a Singaporean investor, and people it bounced a little bit, but didn't get back to those highs. And I think, hang on. They've done drilling operations. They've got an investor on board who invested a lot higher up. They're now bulk sampling. They've got, you know, connections in China. And yet the share price is half what it was back in January. That doesn't make any sense. They've got cash as well, you know. So I just think it's worth looking at. It's a lithium play. And I think it's worth it. And I think next year will be some interesting stories come out, because they are drilling and they're announcing results from that. They've done, a 10,000-ton bulk sample out, which has been shipped to China for testing. But I just think they're well-connected. They've got cash. They've got the resource. And yet they're overlooked, you know. So it's worth
thinking. I'm looking at the chart. Why does the chart not go back before May, when you said about January? Did it?
It does go back
before May. It looks like
May.
It floated in.
No.
Harry and Larry's charts aren't up to date.
Oh, yeah, Harry and Larry, they're put on holidays in May, weren't they?
talking of lithium and stuff like that, I went in a BMW i3 this week. And I have to say, that is very impressive. I don't particularly like the look of them, but you go, yeah, the electric vehicle thing, that is going to be the future, obviously. And Yeah, they're amazing. And actually,
why is it so amazing, Pete?
Oh, hang on. Steve, step really close to the mic, or is it next to you? Where is he? Steve, you're out of your car now?
I'm out of my car now, yeah.
Okay. What are you on the roof, isn't it?
Yes. Why is it so good, Pete?
Well, I just think the way, just the actual performance is very impressive. It's silent, and it's like, you know, the way it glides around, and the acceleration and the speed and stuff is like really impressive. Like, I wasn't expecting to be quite as good as that. And the actual, the economy, the guy that owns it was saying, you know, be like 100 miles for like 70p or whatever, you know, it's incredible, like the actual running cost and everything. And you go, it does all stack up, the environmental side of it, all of it. It's like, sort of, you can totally see why, as this, the technology's come on in the last few years, that is absolutely going to be, you know, the way people are going to be transported around. So I was like, impressed with it.
So I just, the i3, that's a, I just looking at it, I didn't know anything about this. The i3 is that little bubble kind of car.
Yeah, the old
it
looks a bit odd.
It's,
and that's the other regenerative braking. So as you're slowing down, it uses that inertia, is that? I don't know, to actually then charge the battery. Yeah, so, and it's really, it's clever. So it brakes without even actually touching the brake pedal. It was actually braking, and then it's charging the battery, and so that, you know, helps obviously recharge. And then it's very clever tech. Yes, I was just sort of impressed. I went for like a 10-minute, you know, trip. So I haven't really.
Well, do you know what?
Playing death research.
Yeah, well, no, I know. But the thing is, there's people questioning. Listen, talk about electric vehicles being the future. Where are we going to charge these cars? And I think, don't you worry about that. When this much money piles into an industry, it'll happen. You know, it'll happen. Okay. It'll get to the stage where, if you buy an electric car, wasn't it Tesla who would fit a battery pack in your house and a charging point anyway?
Yeah, and Tesla are talking about the whole home battery, aren't they? Running the whole house off a battery. So, but there's quite a few things that this guy who's got this BMW is saying that authorities are looking at being able to tap off like street lamps.
Yeah.
And actually, because there's power there, surplus power, they can just tap into the grid there and kind of go, well, just use the power there to charge the cars. Another thing, which is totally crazy, is having these kind of smart roads, basically, that as you drive along the road, it recharges the vehicle.
Yeah, I can't see that happening for a while, though, can you?
I know, but, you know, blimey, that's... But I don't know, the rate of change and the development of everything these days, it's like, why not in 5-10 years' time? You know, it could be happening, couldn't it? But
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
I don't know. So... yes, I was starting to think, wow, yeah, you know, that all the hype about electric vehicles and you then have to go deeper and go, yeah, what's making the batteries and all the rest of it, and what's the commodities that are involved?
Well, there's nickel in there, of course, and
copper.
We're in nickel, yeah, we're in copper. You're in nickel. You both got horizontal, haven't you?
Yes.
So apparently, Glencore said sees nickel in the best shape in a decade before EVs take off in 2017. So they reckon Glencore very bullish for nickel. And electric vehicles are barely playing a part yet. So they expect nickel's 2017 deficit at 170,000 metric tons. So deficit already this year in nickel. So I think horizontal is a good one. But do you know what? Not playing at that space yet, because we're all over egging a little bit. This EV, I think, will happen tomorrow. And I read a report, a very well put report, saying by 2025, 80% of the cars we buy will still have catalytic converters. So. That is, and they were saying that's playing to the platinum space. And I'm talking about Jangada here, Platinum Palladium.
Yes.
You know, I think it's the most underplayed stock, a more undervalued stock on the on AIM at the moment. Really do. I mean, there's a little bit of worry they need to raise cash, but I think the resource is massive. They've got like 44 exploration licenses, 3 they're just working on at the moment. You know, they've got an NPV of 158 million. So, you know, that's the value of the, and they've got all these credits as well of cobalt, copper. And I think there'd be some tests come out. I just think that it's one of those things. I've been in this position before. I remember doing this with Asia Met and looking at it. And I went in big, and I came out because I got a bit worried about it. But I'm really, part of me wants to go quite big into Jangada Mines. Because I just do think, at this level, sub 10 million, have a look around at the assets. Like they said, Anglo American spent, you know, 35 million on this project. It's a phenomenal resource. It's in Brazil, in a stable environment. And... is on the platinum market, by the way, is in deficit. So, what is it? The World Platinum Investment Council predicts a deficit of 2,275,000 ounces in 2018, and so it's in deficit. Is it? And it's going to be like this for years. You know, it's not like EV is going to take over tomorrow. You know, there'll always be demand for platinum and palladium via catalytic converters, and obviously via jewellery and stuff like that. So. I just think it's so undervalued. I think people think, oh, you know, EVs maybe is the way forward. But for years, we're not going to be driving EVs. You know, we haven't got the infrastructure or the demand there for the electric at the moment. So I just think, yeah, what you know, don't over. Jank out, I think, I don't understand what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's also always about spreading the risk as well, isn't it? So I'm not saying like, yeah, dive into lithium. I'm saying, you know, there's nickel, there's lithium. Absolutely, palladium and platinum still have a place there. You know, copper. So it's about spreading that risk and, yeah, being into all of these stocks, really, because there's plenty in all of them, isn't there?
Yeah. And talking about Giancarlo, who's Brian McMaster's, you know, he's executive chairman. Yes. He's also executive chairman of Harvest. Have you in Harvest Minerals or not?
No, I read about it because I was reading about it at the same time as Giancarlo. I've invested in Giancarlo. I haven't bought any Harvest Minerals.
Okay,
I bought both of those this week, actually.
Well done, Steve. Do you know what, Steve? Well done. Do you know what? I don't understand this. I don't understand AIM sometimes. It's nuts. So they've done leach test results on their product. They're you know, this remineralizer, this KP Fertil, the product's called, but it's essentially a fertilizer. And Brazil, you know, a massive importer of fertilizer and all this stuff. 90% is imported. The government want to be self-sufficient by 2020. And like Brian said, that's not going to happen. It's, you know, they're too ambitious, but it just shows, you know, the encouragement for the industry. And they've even lowered the royalties. So whatever, you know, governments around the world take royalties off any, you know, commodities, whatever you're mining in their country, they'll have a royalty, you know. But they've even lowered their royalty on this to like 0.2%. I mean, ridiculous. So it's almost nothing they're getting off fertilizers. They want to encourage the industry, you know. And so Harvest Minerals came out with leach test results, and the results indicate that only 0.07% of the contained potassium provided by KP Fertil was lost from the soil due to leaching. So, and this is compared to 20.8% contained due to normal sort of sources of fertilizer. So what happens is when it rains, essentially, you know, you lose a certain amount of goodness or potassium from, you know, the fertilizer. Now, they only lost 0.7%. Compared to sort of, if you compare to the sort of, you know, other means, 20.8% that loses, is a fifth of their goodness. And so this is outstanding results for this, and it's going to be, you know, certified very soon, maybe before the end of the year. It doesn't matter. I mean, and there's rumours, apparently, and the share price went down. They released this showing amazing results for this product, which is, you know, locally produced, it's organic, it's cheaper than exports, you know, so it's going to be a no-brainer. And to get certified, and there's also these tests carried out by the Brazil Agricultural Department, sort of, you know, an institute approved by MAPA, which is the Brazilian Agricultural Authority. So, I mean, I'm just saying, and the share price went down. And I think, what's going on? They got a superior product. It's cheaper. It's organic. It's locally made, and the share price went down. And someone said, "Oh, yeah, it's a rumor. It's a rumor because they're writing certification now." Or the broker note came out afterwards saying certification was probably going to happen in quarter one of 2018, rather than before the end of the year. I said, so what? I mean, do you know what? Yeah. The sales on this are going to be massive anyway. So they're looking at sales of 450,000 tons a year, and they're making, so they produce it for $6, pretty much. That's all in cost. They sell it for $60. And that's, look at the margin on that. They're making about $25 million a year profit. And this is like a market cap of, what, 15 million or 16 million?
Yeah.
And I mean, are you nuts? So, I mean, it went back of that. I just think that's a top-up situation there, completely in my book, you know? So, but hey, nuts. Nuts. Oh, hey, hazelnuts. Hey! Anyway, well done, nuts. And,
yes.
Anything else worth chatting about?
Okay. I mean, Harvest Minerals, right.
That's Harvest Minerals, yeah. I just think... Go on.
One thing that caught my eye this week was Just Eat. Did you see that? That they're up there poised to go into the FTSE 100.
Yeah.
And I thought, blimey, that's insane. For a company that is just essentially an app and some software, really, isn't it? It doesn't actually do any of the cooking or the delivery. You know, that is insane that that has grown to that level.
Yeah, I know. It is mad. I was looking at the metrics on it recently, and we've seen the share prices, like, it's one of those ones, isn't it? You just want to be in. It's just gone up and up and up and up. but yeah, it is. I mean, Joe, for the first time ever, last Saturday, I think when the kids were away at the mother-in-law's, we wanted to get something to eat, and we went into that, and I thought, this is so simple. But maybe that's the genius of it. But it wasn't like it was a, you know, an amazing idea. It's just a simple, collaborates all the sort of local takeaways, and that's what. And what they get a commission off each one, do they, or what? How does that work?
Yeah. It's commissionable.
I'm not sure if it Just Eat does it, but the Hungry House, there's the competitor kind of that you can do Apple Pay.
They bought 200 million.
You're breaking up, Pete. But I mean, yeah, 200 million. I'm just reading now. What approved? It's been approved. So they've been approved. Just Eat 200 million. They've paid for Hungry House takeover. Yeah. So there we are.
Okay. Right.
If you look at their metrics, though, it's like their PE again. It's like the right moves and all this stuff. It's about 50. Their price earnings ratio is about 50. You know, more in excess of 50. Mm. So, it's a high growth stock. And if they miss any forecasts, and if they don't deliver on any of these sort of forecasts, they'll take a big hit. You know, and that's the time to get in, really, because they're a market leader like Rightmove was. You know, like ASOS was. Once you're a market leader, top dog. It's hard to get, you know, you basically, people will throw finance at you, you can buy stuff, it's self-fueling, you know, it's completely become a monster, you can't stop, the momentum behind you is phenomenal, and that's, you know, bringing it in a circle, that's how I see Vesarion going. I honestly think other graphene companies, if they come an issue, if there's another technology company, you know, within graphene doing good stuff, in the end, what happens is, Vesarion will become big enough to buy out other competitors, you know, once you've got the steel of the march, once you get there, once you become top dog, the momentum just carries on. It's self-fueling. Anyway, it's do your own research, everyone. Yep.
And on that note, yes.
Yeah. I better go, because I'm going trampolining now, and then I'm coming back and watching the rugby where Wales are going to smash the All Blacks.
Oh, yeah.
He says with tongue-in-cheek.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. England are looking okay, aren't they?
We smashed the Aussies in the last 5 minutes, didn't we? But mate, they took one hell of a beat.
Josh is pressing them.
That was funny, though, wasn't it?
What's that?
Well, just the way it was very, very close, but the scoreline looks like we absolutely, you know, trounced.
I've got to go trampolining, and do you know what's depressing is last time I went trampolining, I came back and I've done it quite a few times, but there's a new trampoline park, they've got these massive warehouses, loads of trampolines in, quite smart, but I mean, I came out last time with an injured ankle, injured knee, and I'm getting to the stage now where I can't even go trampolining with my sons, I'm that old. It's like I don't know, I'm going to do it again now. I come back, I'm going to walk for a week. It's like, it's nuts, isn't it? And you see kids, and not only that, literally 10 minutes of bouncing, I'm sweating like a pig on a trampoline. An attractive sight. And the kids are going to, you know, asking for a double session, 2 hours, back to back. And are you kidding? I can't do 10 minutes.
Well, you don't have to stay on for 2 hours, Justin.
No, I know. Lads, is Christmas decks up? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Do you put decorations up, Steve?
I put a tree up, yeah.
Right.
I've been meaning to buy a new tree every year, and I keep putting the old one up, so maybe this year
It's a real tree as well, isn't it, Steve? It's just wood.
Yeah.
There's no fur in it. All right, lads, well, listen, have a nice weekend. Just dead. A wooden tree with a couple of baubles on your dead tree. It. I'm meaning to get a new one every year, but I can't be bothered. And the council won't take it, you know, so I'll just put it back up. It's fine. All right, lads, have a nice weekend.
Right. Yeah, you too.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.